AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Let's welcome on in Dan Dicker. He is an energy trader. He has worked in financial markets, a financial advisor. He's been a pundit on CNBC, Bloomberg US. He writes for The Street. He's the author of a few books, including Shale Boom, Shale Bust, The Myth of Saudi America. And he's got a brand new book that's coming on out, Turning Oil Green, a market-based path to renewables. Dan Dicker is kind enough to join us today to talk about this new book. Hi, Dan. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
My pleasure. First of all, I got to tell you the truth. I've actually, someone recommended your Shale Boom, Shale Bust book. I'd actually heard of it. I had not read it yet because I got a list. But, you know, it's I recommended that book. You seem to bring, as a mutual friend of ours said, an interesting perspective, kind of a liberal in the energy trading markets.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, most of the folks that I've met in my career are very right-leaning. I mean, the oil market and the commodities market tend to draw more right-leaning folks. But, I'm a traditional liberal, and so I see things from a unique perspective. So I have, you know, some idea of what the motivations are of the industry and the people who are in the industry. And I also understand, you know, where they're right and, you know, where they're mostly wrong. And on the left, too, I sort of have a pretty good perspective on where they're right and, you know, where they get a couple of things wrong, too.
Well, and I think kind of one of the points of your book is a major thing. And I agree with you, actually, on this, because I'm a business major. There's this mentality when it comes to going to green energy, to getting onto renewable energy, that one day it's going to be like the end of a movie. We all walk outside hand in hand, march off into the sunset. And it doesn't work that way. You need to have the markets on board with it, because that's really going to be your primary driver to get to more renewable fuels.
Yeah, I mean, the history of energy is pretty clear. It's sort of like the evolution of man, mm-hmm. You know, where you don't really start from an ape, and then the next step is that you become, you know, what we look like. There's stages and there's transitions that you have to go through, and that's just the way it works. So the idea that we're going to walk out one day and the entire world is going to be nothing but Teslas, you know, it's a false hope, and it doesn't really respect what's possible. Well, so what I try to do is I try to lay out, you know, what is possible, and that's really what's important here.
Well, and it's a nice feeling. It's a nice concept. I mean, we look at Denmark and, you know, wow, they're almost all renewable energy. You know, it's like, but you don't realize, well, yeah, they've been doing that since 1970. They've been moving in that direction. It is something that you have to have pretty much everyone on board if you're going to do it that way. And right now, as you kind of say, you have a lot of people that are driving the energy markets. They're just not on board with something like this.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is you're going to need some of these oil companies to be on board. And I know it's counterintuitive. It's not what the left wants to hear. But the truth is they have a lot of money that's available to invest in the energy world. They own all the infrastructure in this country. And they've got the experience in what it takes to move, transport, and get to end users energy of all sorts. And it's trying to recreate that, you know, from scratch. It's not necessary, and we shouldn't waste the time to do it. We're in a rush here. We got to get to a green future as quick as we can. And what I try to convince people of is that you can't do it without the help of the oil and gas companies, and they've been very willing to be a part of this green revolution. I mean, they're doing it reluctantly, but they've shown more and more in the last 2 years how much they need to be a part of this green revolution, and we've got to stop vilifying them. We've got to bring them into the transition, because that's the way we get there the quickest.
And you actually bring up in your book how we're actually at a prime time to kind of push them towards this, because coronavirus has really done a number on the fossil fuel industry, correct?
Absolutely. And they've been just beaten up for the past 6 years in trying to be, you know, alone. We're, you know, in an oil environment. We're going to be in an oil environment. We're never going to change. And they've gotten punished for that. They've gotten punished by the public. They've gotten punished by shareholders, which is where it really counts. Shareholders have stopped investing with them, and they're demanding them to make a change and be part of this energy revolution. And they are, you know, they're investing a lot of money to try and be part of this energy revolution. And so you have to allow them to be a part of that.
The thing that always concerns me about the energy sector, though, when it comes to green technology, is it feels as if the mentality is that the current fossil fuel industry needs to have almost complete control of whatever renewable energies are going to come on down the line, before they'll really kind of embrace them. It'd be like if Big Horseshoe, back when cars got introduced, demanded they're in charge of all the steel, the glass, the gasoline, the oil, and the rubber before they would allow cars to get out there. And it almost, there does seem to be this mentality that if we can't win with oil, well, then we need to position ourselves in the markets to be there and be in control before we'll even start embracing that. Is that true? Or is it just my perspective on that?
No. They would like to. I mean, they would like to, whatever you pump into your car or whatever transport you use in 2060, you know, they want Exxon on top of whatever station you're filling it with, no matter what you're filling it with, whether it's hydrogen or electricity or a natural gas, no matter what it is, they'd like to be the one filling your tank. But the truth is, this is the time to actually put some regulation back into place. Control the price of energy products. Control how much they can, the oil companies can invest in drilling more energy products. And with some of these market, you know, controls that I sort of talk about, you can allow for not only to respect and keep together the oil industry as it is and protect some of those jobs, but also very much support these new technologies that this country is building to, you know, take over and try and displace some of these fossil fuels as quickly as we possibly can.
Once again, Dan Dicker joining us. Turning Oil Green is the book. I know that, and there are people out there that, once again, they like that dream world where they wake up one day and everything's Teslas. But the reality is it's going to take a while to get there. You kind of put a lot of faith in natural gas, and you say that, you know, that kind of a gateway drug to get us from the fossil fuel industry into the more green technology. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, it's a natural transition. Just like, you know, we've gone from wood to coal to oil, you know, and all of these old technologies kind of die out. You know, the next step on this is so clearly natural gas. So from an environmental point of view, it's instantaneously 50% cleaner than oil. I mean, that's an instant benefit for everybody. It's more efficient when you burn it. It goes in, you know, you don't have to turn it into another product. For example, crude oil is useless. You got to turn it into gasoline or jet fuel or heating oil or something else in order to use it. But natural gas comes out of the well. It goes through a pipe and it comes out in your kitchen or wherever you need it in the same form as it comes out. So that's also a benefit. And, you know, finally, you know, it has every use that oil does and several more. You can take it and you can convert it into anything you want. For example, there's now a very big hype going on around hydrogen.
Yeah.
Well, 95% of the hydrogen that's made right now is made from natural gas. And hydrogen in its form is, you know, as good as electricity. It's got zero emissions when you put it in, or you drive a car with it or a truck or whatever you use to do to power something. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons that, you know, we're very late to this, but it's not too late. We really have to make a transition to natural gas first or before we get, or at least while we're getting towards some of these zero carbon technologies like solar and wind and so forth.
How much can natural gas, do you think, replace the dirtier fossil fuels? Do you think, are we looking at the ability to take over? I mean, because obviously, like crude oil, they use in plastics, and there's other things, too, that are there. And the reality is how much do you think, when it comes to, not pumping oil, per se, for energy use, do you think natural gas could consume that part of their market?
In this country, the sky's the limit. We are the largest producer of fossil fuels in the world. And we have an enormous reserve of new fracked natural gas that we've been flooded with and been glutted with for the past 10 years. The prices of natural gas are insanely cheap compared to oil. And most of the natural gas producers in this country are going broke because there's so much of it and nobody wants it, or at least they want it in such a small quantity that it remains cheap and they can't make a living. So to the degree that we could switch over to natural gas, it's an instant winner. It's cheaper, it's cleaner. It's in this country, it's far more easy to get out of the ground. And we've got a lot of it that would last us, you know, if we converted for 150 years before we run out of at least what we know is in the ground. And there may be a lot more. So in terms of transition and what natural gas can do for us, the sky is kind of the limit.
if we did, let's go hypothetical, if we did really embrace natural gas as a transition, a natural transition, as you said, then how long do you think it would take for us to get to that 100% green renewable energy down the road? Is this something that would be attainable, say, in my lifetime?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, what we're looking at is we're looking at these kinds of building, this kind of evolution like I talk about. So you're never going to see oil disappear completely. I mean, we still burn wood, as old as that technology is, and we still burn coal, as silly as that and old as that technology is. And you're never going to eliminate completely oil or natural gas. But yeah, the quicker you can make those transitions, the less of the percentage of the portfolio the dirtier stuff takes up in what you need to power a planet. So yeah, you know, you go to natural gas, you're immediately giving an incentive to use less oil, to use less coal, and you're also giving an incentive to use more of the renewable energies like solar and wind. So yeah, I mean, the quicker you make the transition, the quicker you can make the next transition.
The real question, and you know traders, you know the inside of the energy market a lot better than I do. There are a lot of people that basically said when the last drop of oil is out of the ground in any capacity, then we'll think about it. How likely is it, do you think, that, I mean, you make some good points in the sense that, you know, you're already warming up way too fast. You're not going to be able to reverse this quickly, but you definitely need to get the oil industry on board. Is there really a hope that we could get, you know, some more calmer minds in place here to where that what you're saying is not science fiction per se, as far as a market-based strategy to get us to renewables, that it's something that's actually got an applicable time frame?
Well, Matt, I mean, that's kind of why I wrote the book. I mean, we live in obviously a very partisan country. And somewhere along the line, we've got to have, an honest conversation, not only about climate change, but about this myth of, you know, oil companies controlling, you know, political parties and doing what they want and being unregulated and you know, just having a Wild West time in the marketplace and having no controls whatsoever. There comes a moment where if you're going to be really serious about changing, you know, the path that we're going and really serious about climate, you're going to have to not only involve the oil companies and allow them to make a profit, but also control them when they get undisciplined, which they do a lot.
Yes.
And so, you know, and what's the hope for that? What's the actual hope for that? You know, the political, landscape out there as well as I do, you know, despite the fact that it's probably, you know, not the most likely thing in the world, it was a book I felt I needed to write. You know, I hope that, you know, it helps educate, you know, people in Washington and around the country in, you know, a plan that's possible that does protect the oil industry as well as help us move forward to a greener future. But, you know, to the degree that that's going to happen, I don't know, Matt. You tell me.
I like your ideas. I mean, I agree with you. Sometimes there's too much pie in the sky on the left and on how this is going to get done. You're going to need to run this through the markets. And so I like how you're looking at this for a real practical way as to put it through the markets. Yeah, we got a lot of people to change the mind on, but I'll encourage the book. Go get the book, Turning Oil Green, Dan Dicker. You'll find it over at Next Chapter Books over in St. Paul. Also Amazon, Kindle, it's available there. Dan, all my best with this. Congratulations on the third book, and hope to talk to you again sometime.
Anytime, Matt. I appreciate it.
Dan Dicker, kind enough to join us. Once again, Turning Oil Green, a Market-Based Path to Renewables. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.